Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And this passage is about the woman taken in adultery. So keep in mind that phrase, taken in adultery. Now, there's been an interesting passage about how the Pharisees tried to use the law to trap Jesus Christ and to use the book against him. Of course, it didn't work. John chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, you know, it's an interesting thing about the Bible. It is a book that can be used two ways wrongly. It is a book that can be used to point out the faults of people you don't like. And it was no question the Pharisees didn't like Jesus Christ, and they were going to use the Bible. Of course, what they had was not like what you have. They had the Old Testament. They were going to use those words of God against him to point out his faults, to accuse him. And that's the way a lot of people use the Bible. It's easy to go to the Bible and say, you see right there, they're wrong. That's an enemy of mine. See, they're wrong. It's easy to go to preaching and be sitting there and saying, boy, I wish old so-and-so was here to hear this. He sure needs it. And then miss the things in the preaching that we need. The second thing the Bible can often be used to do wrongly is to justify ourselves. Both of these are wrong. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 16 and in verse 15 about self-justification, he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. And they use the Bible to do it. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So people will use the Bible to justify themselves. And that's wrong. That's an abomination in the sight of God, because he knows your heart. And people will use the Bible, like the Pharisees did, to point out the faults of others and to accuse them, like they did to this woman here, and like they were trying to do to the Lord Jesus Christ. They tried it all the time. They'd say, Master, the Bible says, not the Bible, but it's written in the law that if a man had a wife and she dies childless, then he'll take He dies and she's childless and she's to take the brother, and this happened 7 times. Now whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Well, the people that asked the question didn't even believe in the resurrection. And they wanted to know what he thought about that. Just trying to catch him. Just trying to catch him. But you're not going to catch the Word of God with the Word of God in a lie. It's impossible. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. And these words of God that are written down were written by the Holy Spirit. And you think you're going to catch the Word of God with the words of God in a lie? No way. So what they did is this. In verse 3, the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Now, how did they know that? When they set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So the first thing they do is they bring the woman. And notice, this is very important, she was caught in the very act. You say, now what difference does that make? Well, if they caught the woman in the very act, then they know who the man was, right? I mean, if they catch her in the act, they know who the man was. The question then comes up, if they brought the woman, why did they not bring the man? You ever think about that? If they brought the woman, but they didn't bring the man, why not? Why'd they leave him out? Well, some have suggested, and I think they're right. They knew who the man was, and they were trying to protect him. And furthermore, if they knew who the man was and they were trying to protect him, then likely it was a setup in order to stage this deal if they did this to tempt him. And that's probably right. So Jesus is no dummy. And when he sees the woman taken in the very act, but not them, watch what happens. Now Moses in the law commanded us, big-time Pharisees and scribes, you know, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Well, the thing to do then, with verse 5, is to go and actually examine what Moses did command in the law. Because by examining that, we'll know whether what these men say should happen or not. So let's go and examine Moses' law and see what he said. Now, fortunately, if you have a Bible that has marginal cross-references in it, a lot of work has been done for you by people that put the Bible together. I happen to have one of these old Cambridge wide-margin Bibles, and there are excellent mid-margin or center cross-reference in the margins here to point out, you know, verses and to simplify your reading. If you don't have one of those, I'll tell you what, they're sure good to have. Now, not all the center cross-references are going to be right, but a lot of them are. It's going to save you a lot of time. So let's go check this thing out. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, and let's look at verse 10. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Whoa. So, if it turns out that this woman was married and they brought her to Jesus, the truth of the matter is both the adulterer and the adulteress should have been brought if they were going to follow the law. And they didn't bring the man. They only brought the woman. Notice verse 6 of our text in John chapter 8 says, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Well, was he doodling in the sand? It says he wrote. And I'll tell you, there are times when you read through the Bible, you'll see that God's finger did something. With his finger, he made the stars. With his finger, he wrote Belteshazzar's condemnation in Daniel chapter 5. With his finger, he brought lice forth out of the dust of the earth. These are things no man could do, no man could interpret. With the finger of God, he wrote in the stone tablets the laws that were given to Moses. So when Jesus Christ stoops to write in the sand, he's not just doodling. When he writes in the ground, he's putting down something there that is very profound, because when God uses his finger, big things happen. Stars are created. Laws are written. Lice come forth from dust. Belteshazzar's condemnation falls that night. The finger of God is very important. And the finger of God wrote upon the ground. What did he write? Well, it doesn't tell you. But evidently, he cited Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. He could have said in the sand or in the dirt there, he could have said, "Where is the man?" Because that's a good question. If you caught her in the very act, where is the man? You see, whenever we're trying to use the Bible to accuse somebody else, which is so easy to do, we oftentimes overlook that part of the Bible that has condemnation toward us when we do it. That's why you shouldn't do it. That's why you ought to go to the Bible and find out what the Bible has to say about your problem. Jesus said you ought to get the beam that is out of your own eye before you try to take the mote that's out of your brother's eye. And you ought to try to find how to live right by that book first. Because after all, when people choose to live wrong according to that book, that's their choice, not yours. And so when you choose to live right, and then you choose to bring to their attention something that's in the book, they still have to make the choice. You're not going to beat them into subjection any more than Jesus Christ beat these Pharisees into subjection. So they did a partial truth. And that's so common. They did a partial truth. They left out the man. All right, let's keep looking. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 22, because Leviticus chapter 20 only deals with a married woman. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 22. See, there's an answer in the Bible for every shenanigan of man. You're not going to condemn God. Job got fussing with God and put his fist up there in God's face and said, "I sure would like to have some time to talk to you." God showed up and asked him a few questions, and then Job said, I abhor myself. I'm vile. I'm keeping my mouth shut. Why? You're not ever going to use God's book to accuse God. Ever. Now, you may feel like trying, but it's a waste of time. Deuteronomy chapter 22, look at verse 22. "If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel." All right. So both of them are supposed to die. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 28. "If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed," so she's not married, she's not engaged, "and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, like this woman was, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and shall be his wife. Because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days." So the question that Jesus could have written in the ground is, where is the man? Because according to Deuteronomy 22:22, if the man were found in the act with the woman, then he deserved to die as well. And if the man was found with the woman and she was a virgin, not betrothed, then he has to pay the damsel's father and marry the woman. In either case, you need the man. And they withheld the evidence. They didn't want Jesus Christ to know who the man was. They were trying to protect this fellow so that if this woman were a virgin, he wouldn't have to marry her, contrary to the law. Or trying to protect this man so that they could kill this woman who they didn't like, but save the man alive, which was contrary to the law. And so all of a sudden, this they did to accuse the Lord was turning on them. That's very typical of the book. When you try to use the book against God, you are going to find out that this book is going to turn on you. And anybody that's ever tried it has found out that's true. I love this book because it tears up every one of its enemies. And so the best thing to do is use the book to get right with God and let it preach against you. Like Bob Jones Sr. said, this book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. And when Jesus Christ wrote in the dirt, probably like I said, he probably said, where's the man? In either case, the man has to be there to marry the woman or to die with the woman. And they become accomplices in the crime if they choose to withhold the evidence. Oh, boy. You know, they took on a bigger enemy than they thought they had when they took on Jesus Christ. You're not going to beat God with God's book. Can't do it. Now, look in verse 7. They kept asking him because he pretended not to hear them. And when they kept it up, he lifted up himself and said unto them, in verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. The book bites. The book bites back. And in this case, he got them on two counts. Number one, he got them on sin. He got them on sin. Because he said, he that is without sin among you. And they knew they were guilty because they withheld the man. Look in Romans chapter 2 and look at verse 1. Paul knew this extremely well. Paul was well acquainted, well trained in the law. And he knew how to handle these legalist Pharisees. And he did it in Romans chapter 2. Look in Romans chapter 2 and look at verse 1, because this is absolutely right. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. So when God used the book on them concerning sin, he said, if you're without sin, we'll have something more to talk about here. But if you're a sinner, this deal is over. He that is without sin among you. Now, you know something? As bad as these guys were, thank God they still had a conscience. Because they realized they were inexcusable. They had used the book to judge this woman, and wherein they had judged her, they condemned themselves. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. And they were guilty of the adultery, certainly if they set the thing up with the man. And the way they were withholding the evidence, that's exactly what it looked like they did. The second way he got them was on the stoning. Because what the Bible says, look in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and look at verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and look at verse 7. The Bible says in verse 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Well, there were several witnesses there. the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. So in the order of things, since they were the, according to the law, since they were the ones that found her, they were the ones that witnessed against her, they were the ones that were to stone her. But since they did not obey the law, they couldn't stone her because they had withheld the man and both of them were to die. So when Jesus said, let him first cast a stone at her, the witnesses are the ones that are supposed to do it. So Jesus said, you first, and then I will. Of course, he didn't have to say, then I will. You first, bud. But there's another problem. The next problem is found in Deuteronomy chapter 19. And they wouldn't do this because of what Deuteronomy chapter 19 verse 16 says. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 19 verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord. They were. Before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put away evil from among you. So the point was, if this was an accusation against the woman, and in fact the woman did not get caught in the very act of adultery, but in fact if they were false witnesses, then Jesus Christ, by Deuteronomy 19, was saying to them, you're fixing to get stoned for being a false witness. In other words, produce the man or go away. Throw the stones or go away. Because that's what the witnesses were to do. And he stooped on the ground and he wrote again. Bring the man or no deal. Bring the man or you're going to get rocked. I don't know what he wrote there, but you know it had to do with that. So he wrote on the ground. And in verse 9, you see, he didn't have to ever get into the trap they were laying for him. He didn't have to say, well, I would do this or nothing. He simply went and referred to the law they were trying to use to kill the woman. And in verse 9, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even of the last, and Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. Why'd they leave? They left because, number one, they would not produce the man. And number two, they were convinced of their own conscience, of course. They wouldn't produce the man. Number two, therefore, since they wouldn't stone her themselves, they appeared to be false witnesses. And so they left. You know, any time you try to use this Bible to pin down somebody else, when you yourself have a conscience of sin, you're going to find God cleverly using this book against you, and your best to leave it alone. Romans chapter 2 verse 15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And in this case, their conscience accused them, and they left. So they were smart in that respect. Now Jesus was left alone with her. Jesus lifted up himself, saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? What do you say? Well, what I'd say to you is this. If somebody's been using the book against you, you're better off not worried about your self-defense. Let God do it. He'll run them off. Because you see, in the case of these Pharisees, they were beat by the book on one hand because they misused the law. But secondly, they were convicted by their own conscience because they found themselves to be wicked and adulterous generation themselves. You know, when Jesus Christ had the Pharisees to himself, he said, like in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, And like in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They were an adulterous generation, and God knew it. And they knew it. And he figured, boy, if any rocks are going to start getting thrown around here, this thing can get pretty bloody before it's all over, because we're guilty of the same thing she is. So she said to Jesus Christ in verse 11, "No man, Lord, they're all gone." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." Now that thing about sinning no more, what was he saying? Because, I mean, the Bible shows we're all sinners. And obviously she wasn't going to be able to quit all sin. What was he talking about? Well, the thing she was accused of was adultery, and she was guilty. So he says, go and sin no more. Don't do it again, unless you want to get in trouble again. You know, it's a funny thing about people, but once they finally get out of a trap with God over something like this, and God's book finally gets you off the hook, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ finally gets you cleaned up, you find yourself walking right back into the same trap again. Don't do it. You ever had trouble with drinking and sex, and you got hooked up in some kind of a deal in a bar? Then, stupid fool, if you go back into a bar, you're going to get into the same stupid trouble again. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Now, if he already lets you off the hook by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, go and sin no more. Stay out of those things. How many times do people get caught in the same old trap again and again and again? Jesus said, don't do it again. And so to you, I'd say, don't do it again. If he got you off the hook once, let that be the last time he has to get you off the hook in that thing. Don't do it again. Now, this has been an interesting text here. You've seen some great stuff out of the Old Testament. You've seen exactly how Jesus Christ handled the case here. And you be sure that you're not dealing with half-truths when you're dealing with this book in your own life or in the life of anybody else. You just try to find a way to get your life right with God based upon what God said, and let that be enough. Amen? And when you do get your life right with God, stay right!
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.